Renee Price and Bonnie Hauser join us here in the studio right now, and they'll be here for the next hour. Thanks to both of you for joining us today.
Thank you.
And
thanks for having a good evening.
And if you have any questions, if you're listening out there, you can tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro and ask your questions of the candidates. We'll try to work those in. We've gotten a couple questions already, so I'll be trying to work those in over the course of the hour. Bonnie, you're the challenger, so let me begin with you. Anyone who is challenging an incumbent for any position is doing so because on some level they want change. What change do you want to see on the Board of County Commissioners?
Well, and it's challenged. The seat is open, so I don't see it as challenging an incumbent. I see it as a seat is open for election, and so that's where I start. And I have spent years being an advocate for our communities and schools, and I believe more than ever that District 2 needs a really strong voice, because our voice, there's only two District 2 seats on the board, and so our voice gets muddled in the conversations around Chapel Hill and Carrboro, and I believe we just need to elevate that. So that's the primary thing that I think needs to be different. I also think, in general, I offer a perspective since I'm a businesswoman. I have what I've seen in working with the county, that I'd like to see more, I don't know what the right word is, more policy-based decision-making rather than more political-based decision-making. So it's something I've been working on for a very long time. I think I can really make a difference. I've spent years working with communities and schools. I've done lots, helped with the airport, helped with with the waste transfer station, help with fixing getting fair sewer rates for Eflin, getting the landfill closed, many things. I serve with the NAACP board, with the Project Engage board. I've worked in our schools. What I am seeing in our community is that the decisions that are happening in our boards are not getting down into the communities, and I think we need to bring those closer together. So those are some of the things I'd like to do.
That's Bonnie Hauser. Renee Price, over to you. You're the incumbent, so kind of the same question in reverse. When you ran 4 years ago, you were challenging an incumbent and you won. So you, at some level, wanted to see change or a new direction on the board. Now you're running as an incumbent, so on some level, you want to keep things going. How has the board changed in the last 4 years, and what unfinished business still needs to be done?
Well, when I ran 4 years ago, my mantra, if you will, was your voice, your vision, and I think that I've maintained that. I've always believed in hearing voices from the community. I've been working in the community most of my life, so we're talking like four decades, been out in the trenches and in various places. So I wanted to make sure that people's voices were being heard, and when I ran, it's because I felt that sitting on an advisory board or several advisory boards, and being in the community, that sometimes what we wanted as we the people was not being translated at the policy level at the Board of County Commissioners. So I have tried to maintain that. I'm out in the community a lot. I listen to people. And I think by listening and also collaborating with folks, so we've made some progress. We've got the Cedar Grove Community Center about to open soon. That was a fight to try to keep that open. I know that my opponent Bonnie was opposed to that, but I was listening.
Whoa! No, please don't speak for me.
I'm not speaking to you. I'm just remembering the conversation that we had at the school.
Please don't speak for me.
No. But anyway, there was opposition, but we did have a lot of people that saw the value, the legacy of that building. That's what the people wanted, so we did that, and we're going to bring services back out there. We've got buses now running into the rural areas, and we're working very hard to get a sewer system in the Rogers Road area. And when you mention things that still need to be done, we still have to make sure that the sewer system does get in and that people can get the hookups, because that is expensive. So we're working on that. We still need to get jobs jobs for people. We still have an unemployment rate that needs to drop. And I'm sure you're going to ask more questions, but yeah, there's still a lot of work to be done. There will always be work that needs to be done.
Renee Price and Bonnie Hauser, they're both running for District 2 on the Orange County Board of Commissioners. Again, early voting ongoing right now, primary day in a little bit more than a week and a half. If you have questions for the candidates, you can send us a tweet at WCHL Chapel Borough. Again, we'll try to work them in over the course of the hour. But let's start by talking about education. It's the biggest issue always for the Orange County Board of Commissioners. About half of the district's funding always goes to the schools. There's two school districts that need to be considered. And let's start with Renee and go over to Bonnie. What is the most urgent need for the schools right now, and what ought the Board of County Commissioners to be doing, especially in the wake of funding cuts and funding pressures from a variety of different levels, to keep the schools funded and to keep the schools as good as they are and better down the road?
Well, actually, there are two issues right now. One of the things that we've been looking at over the course of the year, well, actually for many years, but I think it's come to a head now with this new board, is repairs and renovations to the schools and getting updated campuses that are safe and secure. I was surprised at the condition of some of our schools when I first got on and got the tour, and we're cognizant of that. We have been making improvements. There's a new connector over at Orange High, which also allows people with disabilities to be able to use the buildings more efficiently. The other issue that has come to the fore most immediately is teacher salaries. And right now, we risk losing a lot of teachers. I was at a meeting this morning where even Durham was losing teachers and having to rehire. And I heard the same from some of our school board members, that again, we're faced with Wake County having such a high salary for their teachers compared to what we have. And so that's the fear. Will we have teachers for our schools, for our children?
Both of those problems seem to be problems that are getting worse. What can the board do down the road that they're not doing now, or what can the board do better?
Well, we've got a bond that we want to put on the November ballot, and hopefully that will take care of some of the repairs. If that is passed by the voters, that'll take care of some of the repairs for the schools, only about a third, actually. But at least that'll get us started. And then we have proposed to add $1 million each, at least $1 million each year to the, in addition, for school repairs. The other thing that we continue to do is lobby for our lottery funds from the state, and hopefully, we have the North Carolina Association of County Commissioners, which is also working on that, because across the state, schools are suffering, and we really need that money for some of our capital needs.
Bonnie, same question to you. Most urgent need for the schools, and what should the board be doing?
Well, the most urgent need, there's urgent and priority. And I would say the highest priority is to fix the way the county funds its schools. Right now, it's funded on an arbitrary percentage. It's not working. And because of that arbitrary percentage, our schools, our teachers don't feel that anyone has their backs. There is uncertainty in funding from the state. They lost their TAs last year. Orange County Schools ran for 3 months without nurses and social workers. So we could talk about teacher salaries, but when you pull nurses and social workers from Title I schools, that all of a sudden places a new burden on teachers. Also, the administrative demands, not just from testing, but from 504 plans and IEPs and other things, are demands that are being placed on our teachers and that we can alleviate if we look at certain policies and standards for schools. So the first thing is, with policy, so that's one thing. It's to protect the schools from uncertainty. The second is the buildings. And the building problem is not a new problem. I believe, again, the building problem is caused by nonspecific school funding policies, I'm going to give you a technical term, by smushing the building funding with the teacher pay. No, there's been no visibility to the county commissioners about the problems with our schools. They tour the schools. But I volunteer in the schools. I can tell you that you get an inch of water in the gymnasium at Eflin Cheeks and a heavy rain. This is not a new problem, a problem that's been going on for years. Now we have $200 to $300 million worth of those problems. It's not a problem that started yesterday or not that started the bond discussion started. So we need to sit down, Orange County commissioners, let's get the bond done, let's get some money, let's start getting the priorities funded. Actually, one other thing is on the problems is that Estes Hills closed for 3 days because they lost heat. This is about the same time that the Orange County Commissioners were opening their new meeting room. I think that's a problem. So, and we're opening new parks in the county. We're doing lots of things where our schools aren't. We've not paid attention to the building situation in our schools. We need new funding policies. I've spoken to people from both school boards to other commissioners. There is a great interest in moving from this arbitrary percentage to funding our schools based on standards. And that would be standards for class size, standards for TAs per class, standards for social workers, nurses, all of that, to make sure the resources that we need in our schools are getting funded and funded as a priority.
Would that mean more money for schools?
Don't know.
Okay.
Don't know, because we don't know. You know, we have this, don't know. We just have to look at it, because right now we throw 48% of our taxes or 49 or, you know, whatever mood the commissioners are in, we throw some money over the wall. We don't know how the money's being used. So I think once we have standards, we need to fund to that. It might mean, I would suspect year to year it would be different. Some years we might need more money. Some years we might need less. But certainly the most important thing is that our teachers feel that they're protected and they have the resources, not just money, but all the resources in the schools to do their jobs better. Right? So,
can I address something?
Yeah, here? Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so one thing, I want to clarify for the listeners that the 48.1% is a floor, and it's not an arbitrary number. It was a number that was calculated by looking at averages over a year, and that's how they came up with that, and that was before I got on. So that kind of gives some assurance that there will be at least 48% or 48.1, and we go above that. And then as far as how the money is spent, when the school boards ask for a certain amount of money and we give it, it's up to the school boards, the two separate school boards, to decide how those funds are spent. So when you say, you know, we gave money for teachers' assistants. That's what they said they needed. So we gave the money. Now, if the school board decides after it receives the funding that they need to shuffle it around a little differently, that's up to them. We don't have a say in that, not at this point.
I think the follow-up question for both of you is, Bonnie, you talked about standards and making sure they're funded. Renee, you also mentioned the infrastructure issue. You've got a bond that's on the ballot that'll fund some of that, but I think the funding for, what is it, $200 to $300 million worth
$300 million.
Yeah, $300 million worth of repairs isn't going to come entirely out of the bond. So where is the money going to come from? Is it going to come from some other program? Are we going to have to raise taxes? Are we going to have to find some other way of getting revenue? What should we be doing long term?
So let's just be clear about bonds and capital, right? Bond means that you're going to issue debt to pay for schools, right? The county also issues, most of the county's debt is issued just by private funding, so the rest of the money can come from private funding. But regardless of if you pay it out of the bond or you pay it out of the capital, you still have to pay the debt back. And that the question is where the money's going to come from. So where all the so that's the real question is where's the first question, and let me just go. The county has what they call a debt service policy. They set a target number that they can just carry so much debt, and after that, if the debt goes higher, they have to raise taxes. It's a policy trigger. So the first question that the county has to answer is take all its capital projects. The school fund, the school projects, the county's capital, which has to do with the jail and the new Carborough Library and everything, and put it all together and say, what's important? Let's make sure that's what's mission critical? Keeping our schools safe and open, to me, is mission critical. What's mission critical? Let's make sure that's funded and that's put on the plan. And it's a 10-year plan, right? So it's not a plan that's just today. It's a 10-year plan. So let's make sure the high priority is funded. Let's take the low priority projects. Let's either defer them, put them in later years, or eliminate them. If then some of these projects have been hanging around for years. We just need to eliminate them. But they're tying up the county's debt capacity. So that's the first thing. Then the second part is, once we know what we want to fund, then the county needs to look at the revenue stream. And there's today's revenue, but then tomorrow, the new development and the towns and the county will come online, which will provide more revenue to help fund the debt. And then that's the picture. And then when the county can see all of that over the next 10 years, then the commissioners will have the point of view that they'll need to decide whether we have the money to fund our priorities.
Renee Price, your thoughts?
On how we
on
will fund
funding. Yeah.
Yep. Well, the if the voters approve the $120 million in the bond, that'll take care of probably for maybe the first 5 years. We you know, what we do beyond that, we're unsure at this point because a lot depends on what our average daily membership is in the schools, whether we have more economic development that will help with our, you know, revenue stream. So, you know, we do have the capital investment plan, which is actually tells us what we're going to do year to year. We try to take a 5 to 10 year look, but, you know, anything that's between 5 and 10 years is, you know, it's like a placeholder. It can come, items come on, they go off. But I think that for funding the schools, we know we have an idea of what we're going to do immediately. Following that, I really think that we have to really think creatively and how we are going to increase our revenues.
Is there, and I want to get
to... Can I add one piece to that?
Yeah.
Well, I think for the first two to three years, there's enough, there's, you know, in my view of the budget, of course you'd have to talk to, you get seven commissioners to agree, or four anyway, but I think there's enough that you can defer some of the lower priority projects and get some important funding for the next couple of years going, right? But then that gives the county enough time to start working on the policies, because I do believe that we need, as part of the policy change, we need to make sure that we are funding the 32 campuses on an ongoing basis. We have 32 aging campuses in this county. They have heating systems. They have roofs. They have cooling systems. We need to make sure that we are planning for their needs, not waiting for the schools to tell us.
For both of you, are there creative programs, collaborative efforts, work between the two districts, work between public and private organizations, things that the districts or the county ought to try to make the schools better that we're not currently trying, or things that we're doing that we want to expand? Either of you?
I really believe in collaboration and learning. You know, and there's even with the way we fund our schools, I talked about the standards, those ideas the school boards have come up with. I would love to learn what other counties in the state and what other counties in the country that have similar kind of funding models that North Carolina uses, how they're funding schools and in a way that not only gets the resources to schools, but also makes the taxpayers confident that the money that they're getting to go into schools are going to the right places. So that's something I'd be interested in. I also think that this kind of hands-off between the county and the two school districts is robbing us from the opportunity to really work together. And I'll give you an example. I think there's some great things happening in Orange County schools. There's some great things happening in Chapel Hill schools. So, for example, Chapel Hill schools is by far a best practice district in special needs. And they're doing some things with program facilitators. They're taking demands off the teachers. I would love Orange County. I think Orange County used to do it at one time. They stopped doing it. And so I would love to see that conversation happen. Orange County does fantastic things with vocational programs, agricultural programs. I would love Chapel Hill to see that. We need to, not interested in merging schools, but I am really interested in sharing ideas between schools, learning from each other in a way that each school district feels absolutely confident that their needs will be met and they'll be protected so that they can go into these conversations with feeling open, that there's a place for candor, openness, and transparency.
Renee, follow up on that?
Yes. Collaboration is key. And I've been talking to school board members, members of both school boards, and we feel that we need to have more dialogue beyond the once-a-year meeting that we have. And, you know, we're all sitting in a room, and there's this big space in between us, and a few questions are posed and, you know, in two and a half hours, then we're done. And I think we need to have more dialogue, more like a workshop, so that we can really get the issues out there and really, really hammer at them. The chairs of the school boards and the Board of County Commissioners and the, and I think our vice chair, they meet, and they have meetings periodically. But we get the minutes. We're not part of the conversation. And then we meet at budget time, and we're trying to, you know, take care of, you know, we're trying to listen to the school board members, we're listening to the teachers, we're listening to parents. And then we also have to look at other constraints that, you know, come before us in our budget. But I've been asking some of our board members if they would like to do the same. I was with some school board members this morning, and again, we were talking about how we really need to come together and work together on the budget, and not as for, you know, I'm presenting this budget to you, please fund it, and, you know, not really understanding. I think it's helpful that we have now at least one member on the Board of County Commissioners who has been on the school board. And in the past, there were more. I think that was more common, that transition going from the school board to the Board of County Commissioners. And now we have one school board, one commissioner who was on the school board. And I think that helps, you know, in understanding. You know, it really helps understand why you're asking for this money.
Whenever we talk about funding for the schools, that also leads us to economic development. So mm-hmm. let's turn there now. Everyone wants to expand the tax base, diversify the tax base. What specifically should the county and county commissioners be doing to help expand and diversify the tax base? What kind of businesses should we be trying to attract? And what are the dead ends? Everyone's got their own ideas for what we ought to be doing to bring economic development to Orange County. What roads are better than others in terms of attracting businesses that are going to come here? Bonnie first.
Well, I'm really been very interested in bringing economic development up to Eflin. And this is the Buckhorn Economic Development District. We, the taxpayers, have spent millions, not thousands, but millions of dollars putting sewer up there, and we've not seen much results. And if you look at Eflin, if you look west, Morinaga came in, our incredible economic development director walked in the door. He brought Morinaga to the table. He closed the deal. That happened years ago. It happened. What's interesting, if you look at a map, you'll see that it's in Mebane zoning jurisdiction. And actually, if you look at Buckhorn Road, everything west of Buckhorn Road, you're going to see the GE plant, you're going to see Mace Sporting Goods, you'll see a beautiful affordable community called Ashbury that has senior housing and rental housing and workforce housing all in. It's like a little southern village, all in Orange County. Morinaga is there too. That is all in Mebane zoning jurisdiction. If you go east of Buckhorn Road, where the most desirable land for economic development sits, that's in Orange County zoning jurisdiction. And in fact, there are parts of the area that are you're not the most desirable land you can't develop at all because of issues around the water and sewer boundary agreement that are affecting Eflin that don't seem to fit there. So. Economic development in Eflin is a big deal. I'd like to see a business park, which is when the county would work with landowners and developers to get through the zoning, get through the rules, and then the developers would bring the businesses in. And it's really, and they'd work with Mr. Brantley to do that. The second thing that I'm really interested in economic development direct is these school repairs. If you need $200 to $300 million worth of school repairs, that's big business. And there's a question, and so if you go to Wake County says that for every $1 million they spend on maintenance for schools, that creates 9 jobs in their community. Why can't we be looking at our school repairs as an economic development opportunity and see how we could bring jobs, see how we could work with businesses to get them done better? It is there's some wonderful companies around that are focused on school repairs. They focus on energy efficient heating systems. They know the tax credits. They're really best practice organizations. I'd love to see us. Again, this is just an idea, but I think it's something that we really need to explore and pursue. Similarly, other things that the county is doing, if there's ways we can work more with local businesses to provide services to our citizens, that would be pretty cool, too, and not-for-profits as well to create
Renee
jobs.
Price.
Well, I think economic development needs a multi-pronged approach. One of the things that I'd like to see is development on our economic development districts, We do have the Morinaga. That was stage, you know, part one, and we're hoping that that will spur more businesses to come to that area. Then we also were working on the Hillsborough EDD, and then the Eno, and I'll just say right now I have some issues with that one. I think that needs to a little bit more redesign on that one. But I think we, as long as the land is there, I would like to see something happen. We do have the, there was Eflin Medmen Small Area Plan that was done years ago. I would like to see that probably revamped at this point since it's several years old, and see how we can do some mixed-use development in the Eflin Medmen Corridor. And within that framework, I'd like to see diversity of types of businesses, whether it's office, research and development, or more manufacturing. You know, we need a range because we have a range of people that need jobs. We have people coming out of the universities that are doing things with computers, and it used to be computer chips. I don't know what it is now since I'm not in that realm. But, you know, some of the high-tech stuff. And then we have other people that need jobs or are more suited to jobs in manufacturing. One of the things that we have done, for example, with Durham Tech, with Morinaga, was to involve Durham Tech so that we could have a skilled workforce. And they are now able to, they got the training so they can go in, and they're getting living wage salaries. Then there's also, now that's more for some of our larger businesses and corporations, but then there's also the small businesses. And I believe that small businesses are the backbone of America. And we have a grant and loan program that had been slow in it. A couple of years ago, it was kind of slow in doling out the money. And I asked what was, how many people, or what was our success rate with it, how many people were using it. And we revamped the application and also the approval process. And now we've got, I know it was over 20 this past year. They got loans and grants, and I helped a couple of people to become aware of that. And they, you know, from going from a barbershop, we got someone that's got a barbershop and other people that are selling fish to, you know, raising fish and selling it to Whole Foods, which also then gets into the next frame, which is farms, our small family farms. I've been advocating for small family farms since the 1990s, and we've lost a lot of farmland throughout the country. But also in Orange County, we used to have a lot of dairy farms and whatnot, as well as tobacco. And now we have some young farmers that are coming along and are taking advantage of that agrarian heritage. And then the other part would be business retention. We have had some businesses that have started here in an incubator, for example, Launch Chapel Hill, they started. And then they move out. They get big, and they a couple of them moved out. But now what we're trying to do is seeing what we can do to retain them. Steve Brantley has done an excellent job in bringing businesses to actually look at Orange County. And now Yvonne Scarlett has been promoted to do business retention. So I do think that we are on a good trajectory now.
We're going to take a quick break. Before we do, just one more question for both of you about economic development. Obviously, it's a multifaceted issue, mm-hmm. and the approach is going to be multi-pronged. Orange County prides itself on its values as well, social justice, equality, sustainability, et cetera. How can we use economic development to promote those values? Renee first and then Bonnie.
Well, our economic development needs to, It needs to incorporate the values of sustainability and using green building standards, being conscious of the environment. I think actually for a while that might have been one of the things that slowed us down in economic development, but I think if we do it smart, we can do it.
Bonnie?
To me, one of the key things is equity, affordability, and we're really talking about jobs, better jobs for people in the community. And there's some pretty actually, the county's Work First program is one of my very favorite programs in the county. And these are people, I don't know if you know this, but the county's taken people that were clients of social services, trained them as EMTs, and now as EMTs, now they're driving county ambulances. stellar, outstanding professionals. This is one of the truly wonderful programs that the county is doing. The home builders right now in North Carolina, in the Chapel Hill Durham home builders, are planning a training institute to help teach people building skills. Carpenters, a huge shortage of trained carpenters, electricians, plumbers, other masons. They're planning to put a training institute. I'm actually working with them to help find a place in Orange County to place it. And this would be a great opportunity for us to start developing skills and putting them to work in development in our community. And so those are the things. And I think that Renee mentioned it. I think that what happened with Morinaga working with Durham Tech on skills development, I think that was a plus, too. But we can do a lot more, but with a focus on developing jobs in our community.
You mentioned affordability. That leads to the housing issue, and we'll talk about that first when we come back. You're listening to Renee Price and Bonnie Hauser, both candidates for District 2 of the Orange County Board of Commissioners. Early voting ongoing right now through Saturday, March 12th. And primary day is Tuesday, March 15th. Again, if you have questions, tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro. We'll have more after this.